I want to share with you today some wonderful, wonderful nuggets of truth that the Holy Spirit of God has opened to my understanding that I had not seen before until I looked into the Word of God. And I've read the book of Ephesians several times, and yet I've never seen these truths about God the Father as I have this time. Now let me explain to you why these truths were opened up to me and why I was able to comprehend and grasp them so clearly. It's through using the inductive Bible study method that's taught in the inductive Bible. The inductive Bible gives markings that you can use to help you to understand the Scriptures better. And also it encourages the individual to even make their own markings to help them understand the Scriptures. And this is what I've started doing, and I have been amazed at truth that I have overlooked in the past, things that I have failed to see in the past because I failed to mark the Scriptures. Observation of the Scriptures is so very, very important. A person can give a bad interpretation if they do not genuinely observe the Scripture before they begin to give an interpretation of the Scripture. Observation leads to interpretation. Now, as we go through this little brief study that I want us to have together, I want to show you what I'm talking about, and I encourage you to learn to mark your Bible. Now, I have learned so much through marking my Bible, and I've marked the Bible in the past, but not as intensely and with a definite method in mind as since I have received and gotten one of the inductive Bibles and reviewed and learned how to better mark my Bible. So I encourage you to learn to mark your Bible. Now remember, the Bible is the Word of God, yes, but it does not desecrate God's Word to mark in it. It makes it more relevant to you, or more relevant, so that you can better see the truth and better observe the truth that's being taught. Now, let me give you some facts about God the Father. I had always knew that God loved mankind, as He tells us in John 3:16, a passage of Scripture that I learned at a very early age. For God the Father so loved the world, the human race, that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, and that's you and me, that whosoever believeth in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, beloved, we've all probably memorized that passage of Scripture, at least we believers, at one time or another. But I've always known that God the Father loved us, but I've never really grasped and understood how much He was involved with our lives. I've always focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and His involvement in our lives, but I've never really grasped how much God the Father is involved in our day-by-day lives until I began to mark these passages of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit began to thrill my soul as I began to realize how much our Heavenly Father is involved in our day-by-day walk, and how much He loves us, and how much He cares for the whole human race. Now, beloved, remember, at one time, all the world knew God in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve knew God. They knew God the Father. They walked with God the Father. They communed with God the Father. They fellowshipped with God the Father until sin entered in. And then they were separated from God the Father. They were put apart from God the Father and from God the Son and from God the Holy Spirit. For God, the word Elohim, is a plural Hebrew noun. That means three. And so it means more than one, referring to the Trinity, and which is hidden there in that wonderful truth. And so God the Father loved man. God the Father was grieved because of man's sin. And God the Father grieves today over the lost and dying, and longs for those who know not Jesus to come to the Lord Jesus, to put their faith and trust in Him, because Jesus Christ is the way to God the Father, John 14:6 tells us. And so God the Father's very much involved with mankind. Now, I've heard of people that say that God created the earth and then He moved away and left the world to operate on its own. But, beloved, that's not true at all. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are very much involved in what's going on in the world. And yes, God has a plan. And God has a will, and His plan is being worked out. And man, in his own free will, deliberately chose to walk apart from God. And God allows man to have that free will. But God loves man and seeks to draw man to Himself. Well, let's get into this study here, and let's consider some facts about God the Father. First of all, God the Father is all-knowing. And just one brief picture of this is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 through 33. Here Jesus is speaking, and Jesus, by the way, came to reveal God the Father to us. There's so many things about God the Father that we would not know had Jesus not taken on physical form, come to earth, and revealed and told us about God the Father in terms that we could comprehend and understand. And so Jesus is speaking about God the Father here in Matthew 10:28 through we'll read through verse 33. Jesus says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him," which is speaking of God the Father, "which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father," that is, without the knowledge of God the Father. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now, beloved, that's how much God loves you. That's how much God the Father loves the sinner. So much so that He gave His only begotten Son, that we, by believing in Christ, might come to know God the Father. so the very hairs of our heads are numbered. Now, none of you or I have any idea how many hairs we have on our head. I heard one time about a lady that had just 3 hairs left on her head. And so she got up, she looked in the mirror, and she just had 3 hairs. And so she said, "Well, today I'll braid my hair." And so she braided her hair. The next day she got up, and she just had 2 hairs on her head. And so she said, "Well, today I'll part my hair in the middle." The next day she got up, and she only had 1 hair on her head, and she said, "Well, today I'll wear my hair in a ponytail." The next day she got up, and she didn't have any hairs on her head, and she said, "Well, praise the Lord, I don't have to comb my hair today." Well, that's a little bit ridiculous. But God knows how many hairs we have on our head. That's the point I'm trying to make. Verse 31, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Now in verse 29, he said that God knows when even a sparrow falls to the ground. And he says, "Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me, Jesus Christ, before men, him, Jesus Christ, will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." And so we see he's speaking here of the omniscience of God the Father, and how that he loves us so much that he even knows the number of the hairs that's up on our head. Now I'd like for you to go to 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to notice verse 7 through chapter 5, verse 3. Verse 7 of John chapter 4. 1 John. 1 John in the back of your Bible in front of the book of Revelation. Some little short books. One of them is 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now he's talking about agape love. Agape love is different from phileo love. You see, the New Testament was written in the Greek language, and the Greek language is far more precise than the English language. And the word love, we use the word love for all kinds of things. I love my wife. I love apple pie. I love popcorn. I love football. All kinds of ways that we use the term love. But here he's speaking of agape love. And agape love is different from phileo love. Phileo love depends upon an object loving an individual and how an individual feels about a certain thing. But agape love is a love that chooses to love irregardless of the response that is given to it. God loved us when we hated him. God loved us when we had turned away from him and walked apart and away from him. The Father love of God the Father is like a parent whose child has turned against him. The child has walked away from him, like the prodigal son. And the father loved the child and longed for the child to return. And you recall the account how the prodigal son lived and squandered the inheritance that the father had given to him, and finally winds up in a hog pen eating slop with the hogs. He's gone so far down. And then he stops and awakens to the fact, listen, the servants in my father's house have better food than I have. I'm going to return and go back to my father and tell him that I've sinned against him and against God, and I'm no longer worthy to be called his son. To make me as one of his hired servants, I'd be better off as a hired servant of my father. And so he goes home. But the father's been looking for the son, because the father loves this son that has rejected him, this son that has gone out on his own, this son who has separated himself from the father, this son who has left off any communication with the father. But now he's coming home, and God, we see the prodigal son's father is looking for him, and he sees the son coming. And he picks up his Hebrew robe that he's been wearing, and he takes off running to meet his son, the prodigal. And before the son can say anything, with all the hog pen smell that he has, the father throws his arm around him and hugs him and says, "Son, I'm so glad to see you." And the son, before the son can say anything, he brings the son to the servant and said, clothe him with a robe and put a ring on his finger and kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a feast. My son, which was lost and is now found. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the love that God the Father has for we human beings. And that's what he tells us here in verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God the Father, for God the Father is love. In this was manifested the love of God the Father toward us. Now let me just stop right here and tell you how I mark God the Father. I use a triangle to mark God the Father. I also use a triangle to mark the Trinity. But when I use a triangle to mark the Trinity, I put a T in the middle of the triangle to represent the Trinity. But for God the Father, I just use a triangle. And so I put a triangle above the name God the Father, are the pronouns that are referring to God the Father. And so God is love, and oh, the love that God the Father has. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God the Father toward us, because that God the Father sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. This is God the Father, beloved. This is the love of God the Father for you and for me. Herein is love, not that we love God the Father, but that He loved us and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, God the Father so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God the Father at any time. If we love one another, God the Father dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Yes, beloved, the Holy Spirit indwells every child of God, and the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He's also called the Spirit of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit represents God the Father and God the Son living in you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus. Hereby, verse 13, know we that we dwell in Him, in God the Father, and God the Father in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. There it is. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father. Over in John chapter 4, Jesus, talking to the woman at the well, said, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, beloved, it's with our spirit that we worship the Lord, and we must worship Him in truth. And Jesus is the truth, John 14:6. And so, beloved, it's through Christ that we can come to God the Father and worship Him. And the Spirit of Christ comes to indwell the child of God. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, What, know ye not that your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? And John 3, 6 says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so it's the spiritual part of man that's born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the spiritual part of man where the Holy Spirit moves in to indwell us and to represent God the Father and God the Son indwelling us. And so, beloved, hereby know we that we dwell in God the Father and God the Father in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This is the manifestation of the love of God, beloved. God the Father. This is how much the Father loves you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And God the Father sent the Holy Spirit into the world to convict us of sin, we're told in the Gospel of John, and to draw us to Jesus Christ. And so our salvation is all of God, beloved. It's all of God the Father. Oh, what love the Father has for you and for me. What great love. Verse 15, Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God the Father dwelleth in him, and he in God the Father. And we have known and believed the love that God the Father hath to us. God the Father is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God the Father, and God the Father in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. We're representatives, we're children of God the Father, and therefore we are representing God the Father and God the Son. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Oh, beloved, get a hold of this fact of how much God the Father loves you and loves me. And let the love of God the Father flow through you. Be a channel of His love. Be a vessel through which the love of God can be manifest to all that are about you. The agape love of God, as 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains and reveals and calls charity, it's the agape love of God. The love that we show others even when they hate us, when they rebel against us, when they seek to do us harm. We still love them and seek to draw them to the love of God. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The word perfect means mature. God wants us to grow up, beloved, in His love. Verse 20, If a man say, I love God the Father, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God the Father whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from God the Father, that he who loveth God the Father love his brother also. Verse 1 of chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God the Father. And every one that loveth him, God the Father that begat him, the individual that saved, also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God the Father, when we love God the Father and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God the Father, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Oh no, beloved, his commandments do not bring grief, but they bring joy. They bring blessing, because God the Father loves us so much, he says, don't hurt yourself. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about, beloved. God says, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. These are guidelines to keep us from hurting ourselves. When a parent tells a child not to run into the street, the parent is saying, don't hurt yourself. Be careful about walking into the street and crossing the street. Don't run into it, because a car might be coming and you might not be able to get out of its way. And so, don't hurt yourself. That's what God the Father tells you and me, beloved. He doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. Now, there's another beautiful truth. We've seen that God is all-knowing. He knows the number of the hairs of our head. He knows facts that you and I do not even know about ourselves. And God is love. He loves you and me with a love that continues to seek after the sinner, a love that continues to draw the sinner to himself, a love that seeks to bring every sinner who has broken all of the laws of God, or even one of the laws of God, to himself. Oh, beloved, how much God loves you and me. Oh, that you would open your heart to him, that you would accept him as your Savior, that you would receive him into your life. Now, I see that time's gotten away, and I'm going to have to stop talking to you right now. But I'm not through sharing with you some wonderful facts about God the Father. And so I hope you'll join me in the next nugget of truth that I'll be sharing with you, because it is about Jesus and how that Jesus is the physical revelation of God the Father. Jesus Christ is the physical manifestation of God the Father. And we're going to see that again as we look into the Scripture next time. Till then, God bless you richly. Bye now.